Well, tonight, we are lucky enough to be joined in the studio by Avery Stemple. Avery is a psycho-spiritual philosopher-poet from right here in Troy, and Avery has been turning everyday experience, cosmic insight, and philosophic questioning into lyrical portraits and sharing them with whoever will listen. And I'm certainly grateful for that process of sharing. Avery does poetry workshops in elementary schools, middle schools, excuse me, and public libraries. Welcome to the studio, Avery.
Thanks, Megan.
Avery, can you describe your life as a poet a little bit? When did your life as a poet begin?
I remember writing the first thing that I really got excited about in like fourth grade. My teacher, Mr. Shannon, was a fantastic teacher. But I would say poetry for me really opened up when I hit ninth grade. I had a great teacher, Mr. Speck, and you know, he just, I can't say that it, like the floodgates opened at that point, but I remember finding a journal that I had in ninth grade, and it really was filled with poetry. None that I would say was great by any means, but it, you know, was going through life and trying to cope with various situations that really, you know, got me into internalizing and figuring things out through poetry.
And you've carried that love of poetry with you into adulthood.
I have, yeah, yeah.
Cool. Can you talk a little bit about some of the poets who have inspired you over the years?
Sure, yeah. I mean, Jacqueline Kirkpatrick, Samson Dykeman, Dan Wilcox, Amani Alagbala, D. Colin. I mean, I go to a lot of open mics, and you know, hearing people perform their poetry live is just fantastic, you know, and it, that really gives me a lot of inspiration. Adam Tedesco is another one. He's absolutely mind-blowing. You know, I really like the Beats. Gregory Corso, Allen Ginsberg, but you know, Dr. Seuss, fantastic.
Can you talk a little bit about your writing process? How do you begin writing a poem?
Well, I mean, it's about encountering life. You know, when you get into a situation that you really are having trouble coping with or having trouble wrapping your head around, for me, I start writing things down. And, you know, it's usually after I look at whatever it was I've created that go, you know, I get insight into how to deal with the situation that I'm in. So it is a very personal thing, you know, and I would say my poetry really ultimately is for me, you know, and some other people vibe with it. And yeah.
So I was lucky enough to hear your performance at the Troy Poetry Mission at O'Brien's a few months ago. And that was just a pretty spectacular night in general with D. Colin. And tell me again Shannon's last name. I'm sorry.
Shoemaker. Yeah. Okay. She's also fantastic.
Yeah. And so, you know, out of the poets there was, I shouldn't say that there wasn't a spiritual bent to anybody else, but there is a more explicitly spiritual bent to your poetry. So can you describe how your spiritual life and interests overlap with your poetic work? And do you see yourself in tradition with other spiritually focused poets?
I would say it doesn't really overlap. It is intertwined. It's one and the same. You know, I grew up on a sawmill, and you know, I kind of experienced nature very raw. You know, and you know, I have a lot of poetry about approaching nature and the things around us, our environment. And I think whenever you walk that threshold, you are inherently spiritual. I mean, if you're listening to the birds and you're looking at the trees and, you know, there's mystery and magic all around us. And that's just, you know, I approach that.
And there's also definitely an emphasis on helping others in your work. You seem to want to lend a hand to people. And one of your poems actually instructs people on how to behave, how to smile, and how to forge connections. So can you elaborate on why this aspect of your poetry has emerged?
Sure. Well, like I said, my poetry ultimately is me trying to cope with my situations. And so when you hear, you know, me saying, oh, you should do something, it's really, I'm talking about myself. You know, you don't go through life without making eye contact, then you're not going to be very successful. If you don't, you know, actually reach out to people, you're not going to get your things done. We are social animals, and we need to form communities to help each other grow.
Can you read us some of your work?
Sure. let's see. This is, what do you choose? We all make choices. You can choose to ride the turbulence. You can choose to float the pond. You can choose to toe the line or choose to step beyond. You can choose to rise above it or wallow in the muck. You can choose to move on down that road or choose to think you're stuck. You can choose to lift your heart up. You can choose to take a stand. You can choose to laugh at midnight. You can choose to understand. You can choose to make a smile. You can choose to dance all night. You can choose to grab a partner's hand and hold on really tight. You can choose any direction. You can choose who you want to be. You can choose to let it go. Now choose responsibly.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Avery, how can we find more of your poetry?
I just started a Reverb Nation. I think I actually started it a year ago and never posted anything. And it sent me like a reminder email that was like, hey, no one's listened to your stuff. And then I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this. And so I actually uploaded a few poems. I have several on, you know, Facebook, basically, that I post. I publish a lot of little chapbooks, and I sell them when I do readings. I don't have much of a digital presence yet, but that's something I've vowed to work towards this year.
And then how about performance? I mean, just given the social and emotional element of your work, it seems like it really lends itself to live performance. Do you have plans to take your work to the streets more?
I am always performing. People request poems sometimes at different things because they've heard me at various venues. Albany, Troy has such a wide variety of poetry, open mics and features and things. And, you know, the Albany poets, Mary Panza, Tom Job, I mean, they're doing a fantastic job of collaborating all of the various poetry experiences you can get from Saratoga down to Woodstock. So we live in a very fortunate area for poetry.
Do you have any interesting stories of how your audience has reacted to your poems? People who have come back to you and said, this particular moment when you read this or performed this had a certain impact, or I read something in your chapbook and it had a particular impact.
Oh, yeah, sure. I performed a couple times down at Alex Gray's Chapel of Sacred Mirrors, and I did a whole, like, 10-minute kind of breathing thing where I talked about breathing, and then I had a breathing meditation poem, and I had a lot of people come up to me afterwards and actually ask me for copies of the poem because they wanted to use it either, you know, for themselves or for their kids to, as a way to, like, you know, help meditate. Or, you know, I have that smile piece that you mentioned before. I like that one. People do respond well to that. And, you know, it just lightens the room. You can see it in the room when people start to smile. It's pretty funny. I like to perform that.
Is that one that you've used with kids? It seems like that would be a natural choice for the work that you do going into classrooms and spreading lessons on poetry.
Yeah, and I have a couple that are very rhymey, kind of rappy, and I did a program in Schenectady Elementary School, and, you know, the teachers were introducing poetry, and here's this poet, and I get up and do this very rhymey piece, and they were like, oh my God, you just rapped. Did you know you were rapping? I'm like, well, it's a poem. I didn't have any beats. I got an email from the teacher saying, you know, like, wow, you really blew their minds. They didn't realize that poetry could be, you know, represented in so many different ways. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool. As a teacher, I used to get free tickets to go see the Dodge Poetry Festival down by in Newark. And I think it was Yusuf Kumunyaka, and he was talking about how the sixth sense comes out in poetry, which is rhythm. So it sounds like you play with rhythm and rhyme to draw a connection between the poem, the person, and the audience, or you as the writer and the audience.
Right. Yeah.
Can you read us another work?
How much time do we have?
We have a couple minutes left.
So this one's untitled. These are a lot of the pieces that because I chose shorter pieces to share are kind of just reflections. So this is, listen to the trees whisper, listen to the river sing. Listen to the birds call back and forth as they launch in the air and take wing. Listen to the groundhog shuffle. Listen to the daisy bloom. There's so much in this life for you to experience if you only make the room.
That was really cool to hear, especially after you talking about nature and your relationship to nature, you know, undeveloped spaces.
All right, I got one last one. So this is finding the groove. Do you think that the development of an individual consciousness occurs within a vacuum? Do you think you can grow without inspiring others to evolve? When the glow within you begins to brighten, you make others want to shine. When the music within you begins to pour out, the world around you sings. When the joy within you bubbles out and merry giggles, the rocks themselves laugh. Shine, sing, laugh, dance. Move to the rhythms you feel echoed in your steps. Move to the melodies you hear blown on the wind. Move to the songs that trickle with every creek, and know that we're all dancing along.
Thank you. I think one last thing. Avery, do you have any words of advice for aspiring poets out there?
Right. Yeah. Just if you see something and it inspires you, make sure you get it out, because the more you actually write and experiment with where words go and how they fit together, the more it makes sense.
Do you have a strong consideration of your audience? You said that you write mostly for yourself. So is it a two-part process where you kind of are solipsistic and you go into your own space and just write about the things that you care about? And then there's some sort of editing process where something that you present as performance or publication or gift for the audience.
Right, emerges. Right. Sometimes. I mean, it depends. Like the two of the ones that I shared aren't edited at all. It's just that's how it flowed out. And that's, you know, I didn't need any change. Obviously, some I have to like perform. Like when I was doing slam poetry, you have to keep it within a certain, you know, time constraint. And so you had to get it under 3 minutes. So I've, you know, sometimes you have these restrictions that you... I've stopped doing that, though, because I'm like, you know what? I don't want to fit into guidelines.
Well, thank you so much. Can you give our audience a heads up on when you are performing live again?
Oh, geez. I don't know right now. Yeah, soon.
Hopefully the next Troy Poetry Mission. Coming up end of January.
Yeah, the end of January. Yeah, that's right, on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Troy Kitchen?
Troy Kitchen on Mondays, yep.
Nice.
That's always fantastic. Yeah, if you haven't been to Troy Kitchen, get there. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Anywhere else we can find your poetry before you go?
No, not that I can think of. Find me on the street.
Well, thank you so much, Avery.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I hope you come back. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
That was local poet Avery Stemple performing his poetry live on WOOC.